We wish to acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land we are recording on in Perth, Western Australia.
The Whadjuk people of the Noongar Nation.
We wish to acknowledge their continuing culture.
And pay our respects to the elders past, present and emerging.
In a world where the lives of everyday people are preordained by the script that must be followed, a ragtag team of scamps dare to speak their highly unqualified opinions publicly. They dare to go off script.
Unscripted, the film show.
You're listening to Unscripted, the film show.
You can't handle the truth.
God, I'm walking here.
Here's Johnny.
You're going to need a bigger boat.
I'll have what she's having.
Want to hear the most annoying sound in the world?
Hello, my Unscriptonites. You are listening to Unscripted, the film show with Rachel here. Cecilia is on her way, stuck in all that lovely traffic. And Lewis is at home with COVID, isolating himself. Thank you very much. But that doesn't mean that the show doesn't go on. The show definitely goes on. And tonight, it's all festival stuff. Many, many festivals are happening at this time. We've got the Revelation Film Festival, lots of independent films happening there. We've got the Spanish Film Festival, which actually starts today, and the Strange Festival, which is bringing back the Exhumed? Yep, that's the way to say it, possibly. Doesn't matter. Exhumed Theatre, which is happening at the Como Theatre. So I will be talking about a little bit about all of those things. But unbeknownst to me this week, a little Disney film came out called Inside Out 2. So we unfortunately don't get any of those previews, which is okay because Disney knows that people are just going to get their butts in there and pay their money anyway. So, or they're just going to wait and watch it on Disney Plus. So I'm hoping to see that in the next couple of weeks. So I will have a nice, shiny, brand new review for you. We've definitely been looking forward to this film at my house. I feel like I've been watching the trailer for, you know, over a year, which could be possible. It's time is a construct that I don't understand and I'm not very good at. So it could definitely have been happening for over a year. So it brings in new characters. What was that noise? It brings in new characters other than we've got the five. Is it the five or six? Joy, sadness, disgust, fear and anger, I believe, are the original five. And then we're bringing in anxiety, embarrassment, ennui, which is what you call the boredom, which is a little quote from the trailer there, and possibly more. I'm not 100%, but essentially Riley is entering teenagehood, and this is where all of these extra emotions start to emerge, and Joy and her other emotions are not too sure what to do with these new emotions and all their baggage that they bring along with them. So I'm very much looking forward to seeing it. So we should have a review for you in the coming weeks, if you don't beat me to it already, which I'm sure some of you definitely will. Other than that, unfortunately, other than the film festivals that I'll be talking about, I haven't seen a whole lot because I have this little addiction called Taskmaster. And I know I keep talking about it, but it's all good. Watching the Australian version, binge watching the New Zealand version, of which there is four seasons of, and you can tell I've been binge watching them because there's a lot of words that accidentally just kind of fly out the mouth that sound like a little bit New Zealand, especially if I've been binging multiple episodes in a row. It is in fact on binge, so there's nothing wrong with binging it. It's all good. Another random note, I was talking to my co-worker today who, if I was a really irresponsible 14-year-old, could have been my child. And she had never heard of the movie Cruel Intentions. So I'm trying to come to her with a little, because she's born in 1995. Do the math if you wish to find out how old I am, but I'm not ashamed of being my age, so it's all good. So she was born in 1995, and there's a whole bunch of 90s movies that I feel like are part of my DNA, and she has asked me to give her a breakdown of, you know, the best ones for her to consume. And Cruel Intentions is definitely one of those very awesome, you know, iconic films with one of the most amazing soundtracks. And this came about because today we were listening to a 90s mix of music, and I explained to her that the way my ADHD works is every single song I hear, I connect to a movie, unless I can't think of a movie that it connects to. But so many songs have been featured in movies that is normally what I will connect to it, and I will visualize the scene in my head. Whilst we were listening to this very amazing playlist today of awesome 90s music, she was saying, right, what's that song from? What's that song from? And I listed quite a few different movies. So I am going to be in the process in the next couple of weeks, I think, of compiling a awesome list of 90s essential films to be watching, you know, like Empire Records, Mallrats. She will hate both of those, actually, so maybe I should not. I don't know why she would hate Mallrats and Empire Records, but I feel like they're not her jam. But Cruel Intentions definitely would be her jam, and I think Romy and Michelle's high school reunion. And it'd be interesting to see if these things have stood the test of time. But if you can think of any awesome 90s films that you think I should suggest to my underling at work, please go and put them on the Facebook page, because I'm going to struggle to remember them. Even though I love so many of those 90s films, I will definitely struggle to come up with a list, unless I'm sitting in front of my DVD collection, of which I still have and refuse to get rid of, because you just never know when you're not going to be able to find something on one of the streaming networks. You know, you want to be able to reach into that DVD collection and chuck it in. And I definitely have a DVD of Cruel Intentions. And while we're talking about things I enjoyed in the 90s, Alanis Morissette, everybody. Her original Jagged Little Pill album, I was explaining to my colleague today that I listened to the album so many times, I wore it out, literally wore it out, and had to buy another copy. So, yes. So I was showing my age to her today because I was explaining that I bought things on cassettes first and then CDs. So, yeah. But anyway, we should move on to something film related. Not that that wasn't film related. It totally was. But I am happy to see that Cecilia is running here. I'll have to ask her if she listened on the way in. She might need to catch her breath, ladies and gentlemen. She's going to...
I'm here. I've made it.
You've made it.
I've made it. Oh, thank goodness.
Welcome.
Welcome.
Thank God you're here.
I know. Came
through the door and I said, thank God
you're
here.
That's a great show.
Isn't it just?
Can we have more of that?
There is more of that.
Is there more of it?
With Celia Pacola.
Oh, I love her.
I do, but her voice is slightly annoying.
Too much.
It's a bit too much. But it is very entertaining.
It's very fun. It's a fun game to play too.
It is. A bit of improv.
If you've got friends who enjoy improv, not everybody's cup of tea.
I feel like my life is improv. I feel like all I do is improv.
Well, that is basically
isn't that life?
What you do. Yeah.
Isn't that life?
Every day.
I mean, I feel like this is a really profound statement. Life is just improv.
I like that. Put that on a shirt. It's already on a shirt.
Well, let's Google it. I have my computer up and running. I was telling everybody that there's a lot of film festivals happening.
Yes.
But other than the film festivals, do you have any other special films to be reviewing tonight?
I do. I have a film called The Exorcism. This is Russell Crowe's, it's his second exorcism-based movie.
It is.
In 2 years. Now, this one, though, was filmed prior to the Pope's exorcist. So this was filmed back in 2019, and it's directed by the son of Jason Miller. So this is a new exorcism film, completely different to The Pope's Exorcist.
Not connected at all.
At all, but we do see, Russell Crowe return to the screens for it. So right. I've got that to talk about. But, yes, I did notice a lot of film festivals, including the Strange Festival.
Yes.
Which looks interesting. The Spanish Film Festival.
Yes.
Is returning as well.
And the Revelation Film Festival.
Yes, can't forget that one.
No, lots of great stuff coming up. And I have found Life is Improvised shirts. Ooh, so there you go.
There you go. It's not just us.
No. I mean, it is kind of
just us making, you know.
I feel like it's a pretty obvious thing to point out. What we're saying is we're not original.
We're not original people.
In any way, in any shape or form at all. What we might do is go to a couple of sponsors and be back talking about something concrete. Not concrete. This is not a concreting program.
No. I mean, that sounds pretty boring.
Hey, people who are into concreting would love that show.
Yeah, maybe the different types of concrete, how to mix concrete.
Is there not just concrete? Standard concrete?
I mean, I don't know. That's why we need the show.
Clearly. Jinx. All right. We'll catch you in a couple of minutes.
You're listening to Unscripted, the film show.
So in between that time, if you're listening to our podcast, it would have been like that. But for those listening live, it would have been about a minute and 45 seconds. We didn't get a chance to catch up, and I know that I've asked you the question when you walked in if you had anything to review, and if you said you did, I've forgotten what it is already.
I love it. I've Welcome seen the ADHD. Russell. I know Far Russell Crowe.
You did Russell say Crowe it, the film, Exorcist thing. Oh my god,
the Exorcism, which is a new film. Do you want me just to delve straight into it?
Let's do it. Do the Exorcism, not on me though. Please,
in the studio. Now, I do have to, before I speak about this film, mention The Pope's Exorcist, which is a film directed by the Australian director Julius Avery. He did Overlord, Son of a Gun, Samaritan. And this film was based on the memoirs of the Vatican's chief exorcist father, Gabriel Amorth, titled An Exorcist Tells His Story and An Exorcist More Stories. Now, the Vatican's chief exorcist. Now, I love the fact that the Vatican has a chief exorcist.
Oh, yeah. How do you apply for that job?
I know, right?
Like, how are you like a priest or whatever and you just like, I'm bored of this talking at the pulpit thing. I think I'm just going to – is it called a pulpit?
I think so.
Yeah, I want to totally exorcise some demons.
So do I. Imagine that, like, oh, no, you don't have enough experience. Well, you've got to give me some exorcisms to get some experience.
Yeah, that's right. How do you expect me to be experienced if you don't give me an experience?
I know. Isn't it crazy? But this guy, Gabriel Amorth, was the chief exorcist right from 1986, right up until his death. In 2016, aged 91. So
it wasn't the exorcism that killed him. He just aged.
But this film, it's not related to this film at all, but I have to talk about the film because I absolutely loved Russell Crowe in this role. It's set in 1987, and the story...
Great year.
Follows a widowed mother who has to drag her two kids to Spain to take ownership of a house that they've inherited. But something evil takes a shine to her son, Henry, who's 12. Now, this is where the Pope's chief exorcist, Father Gabriel Amorth, played by Russell Crowe, enters, and he's sent to help basically exorcise this demon. He teams up with a younger priest, and the two must renounce Satan and all of his works. And they also uncover a centuries-old conspiracy that the Vatican may be hiding. And
It
almost feels like the Da Vinci Code meets The Exorcist. And there's nothing here in this film that you've seen. You've seen it before. It's very familiar exorcism tropes.
Yeah.
But somehow Russell Crowe made the film so much fun. It was very tongue-in-cheek. And apparently Gabriel Amorth was also very much like that as well. It almost felt like a buddy cop film, like these two teaming up to save the day. And it ended with a playful tease that it might be a franchise starter. I was quite excited when I seen this film pop up, and I thought, hang on, is this a sequel, a prequel, or some sort of, you know, follow-up to this film. So I was a little bit disappointed when it wasn't. Aww. And but look, nonetheless, I thought I'd give it a go. It was filmed back in 2019. I'm not sure where the delay is with this one, but, you know, nonetheless. So this film's a little bit darker. It stars Russell Crowe as a troubled actor who has some, you know, past issues with alcoholism, and, you know, his young estranged daughter has come home from boarding school because she's been kicked out. So there's a lot of issues going on, but he manages to score a job despite his, you know, reputation as being, you know, not great. And it happens to be a film about him as a priest performing an exorcism.
Right.
But when he goes on to set, some you know, sinister things begin to occur while he's shooting the horror film. Yeah, it's kind of the, you know, the thing where you hear about haunted sets.
That's the Poltergeist movie.
Yeah, it's a bit similar to that. So he's, you know, entered a set and things start to occur that are really weird, and it's like, you know, what's going on here? But, look, it just didn't have that same... There was no humour in this one, whereas I felt like The Pope's Exorcist was a little bit humorous. And despite how silly it was because of that tongue-in-cheek behaviour, it just felt fun and adventurous. Whereas yeah. I feel like this was very much about – it was very serious and trying to be a good horror film.
Right.
And it doesn't quite pay off. I you know, respect Russell Crowe for stepping into the role. I don't know – and at no point is it his fault. I think it's the direction of the film and the yeah. film itself. Unfortunately, it just doesn't. You know, The Exorcist as a film is a very popular film. How do you ever, you know, live up to that or, you know, remake or make anything that's ever going to be as, you know, renowned as that?
I suppose the thing is not everyone was born in a time where they saw The Exorcist.
That's true.
You and I are a different breed, but I wonder how many people of our age or younger has actually gone back and watched The Exorcist.
That's
because
a good point.
I think a lot of things that were made in the past, especially if they're horror films, there is maybe the thought that they're a bit tacky or not well made, or but also they're classics. So where's the line of do you watch it because it's a classic or not? So it'd be interesting to hear, like, people your age and under, whether they've actually gone back and watched those classics like The Exorcist and The Shining, and I think and The Omen and The Poltergeist. There's a theme here.
There is a
theme. But I think if you're a horror aficionado, surely you would go back and rewatch those things. But if you're a casual horror viewer, I don't know that you would. And in that case, this is why those things get made, I suppose, because there's just a casual horror viewer who's not going to go back in time and watch the originals or...
Yeah, you're right. And yeah. I mean, they did, you know, they didn't remake. They released The Exorcist Believer last year, which was directed by David Gordon Green. And that was kind of a...
Was that a prequel to The Exorcist?
I can't quite remember if it was a prequel, but it is definitely linked to The Exorcist. And, yeah, it's from the same guys who did Halloween Kills. And I felt like they, when they, I was going to say resurged it, but that's not a word. When they kind of brought that back to life, they did such a great job.
Resurrected.
Resurrected was the word.
Which feels like a good word for horror genre.
I do, yeah. So back when they did that back in 2021, they did such a great job with that. I was really excited to see what they were going to do with The Exorcist Believer. And it got a bad rap, but I don't think it was a terrible film at all. I mean, there were things that I would change about it slightly, but for the most part, it was quite enjoyable and a little bit scary. I'm just trying to get up the I think it was, it must have been last year. It wasn't this year.
It did say 2023, the Exorcist sure Believer.
Yes,
yes. So that came out the same year as the Pope's Exorcist.
Yes. So it was such a, so they call it the sixth installment in the Exorcist franchise. So it serves as a direct sequel to the Exorcist 1973. So yes, there's definitely some links in there. And you've also got Anne Dowd, Alan Burstyn, and Linda Blair, who reprise their roles from the original film.
Oh.
So it is worth watching, especially if you're a horror fan, or even if you're not and you haven't seen the original Exorcist, I would start, like, this is a great film into that franchise.
Mm.
So I really liked it. You know, he also co-wrote the screenplay with Scott Teams, Danny McBride, and I thought it wasn't too bad.
Danny McBride?
Yeah, who was also part of Halloween Kills as well. I know, he seems like not an interesting choice for that, but I think that him and David Gordon Green are friends.
Right.
But there is some, you know, comedy elements to the films as well. But
I think comedians make good writers as well because they have that depth to them. They often say that comedians have a lot of dark undergrowth. So,
oh, absolutely. And I think when you consider comedians, a lot of them are talking about, you know, quite dark themes a lot of the time and can go into
and making light of them to try to bring the conversation to the forefront.
Yeah, I think it takes a very almost troubled person to be a comedian in a good way, though, not a bad way.
I think there's definitely a subsector of like comedians who have had a great life and who are just happy, but then there's a bunch of them have just had miserable lives and they've chosen comedy from trauma, or they've chosen comedy because that's how they got their parents' attention, or, you know, there's all sorts of reasons.
It's interesting because following The Exorcist Believer, there were two sequels confirmed to be in development of the kind of same creative team. The first of it was The Exorcist Deceiver, and it was originally scheduled to be released next year in April. But apparently after the reception of the first one, they might not actually be going ahead with those two films, which
they
I
got
think,
shelved.
Well, at least there's some doubt around it, but I thought they were quite, quite good, to be honest. There's things I would definitely change about them, but I don't think it was that terrible to cancel them. But yeah, it wasn't received that well. But yeah, Mike Flanagan is also in talks to write and direct and produce the next Exorcist film off that kind of newer franchise. But yeah, we don't know if it's being booted entirely. So I guess watch this space.
So what would you give this latest Exorcist? It's just called The Exorcist, isn't it?
Yes. Oh, no, it's The Exorcism, I think. Hold on.
Oh, Exorcism.
I should actually know this because I did watch this film.
There's so many of them. The Exorcism.
I know, The Exorcist, The Exorcism.
The Exorcism, is it?
Exorcism, thank you.
Exorcism, yes, exorcism. Because the original was The Exorcist. And when I say original, they're not connected at all. It's just, this is where things came to prominence.
Look, this film is no The Pope's Exorcist, and I love that film because it's so silly, and I want to see Russell Crowe reprise his role and take us on another adventure through the Vatican. So it's not that. I'm going to have to give this 1.5 Jack Daniel's bottles.
Oh, righto.
The descent into alcoholism.
Mm. Well, on that note, descent into alcoholism, I have no segue, so I am just going to jump right in briefly before we go to another sponsor. Last year I talked about a film, a art on screen called Vermeer, The Greatest Exhibition. So that's encoring this weekend, and it's one, like, I love those art on screen movies or films or displays or exhibitions, however you want to explain them.
I'm
having trouble with words.
Art on screen. I like art on screen.
So this is an amazing film because Vermeer, most people know Vermeer as the girl with the pearl earring.
Yes.
But he had a lot of other paintings, but he was not a prolific painter. And they can do these really amazing things where they can, like, put UV light through the paintings and see what levels they've painted on. Wow. And if a lot of painters draw first, and Vermeer was one of those painters who didn't do that. He would paint, and then you can, so when they do the UV light thing, they can see, oh, the painting actually looked like this, and he decided he didn't like it, so he painted a little bit on top of it. But it really breaks down the style and, you know, the kind of paintings he used to do. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of paintings of women looking out of windows, mm-hmm. or writing with a maid in the room. So, yeah, it's, if you are into art, and especially Vermeer or that time period, painting of that time period, it's worth seeing because it's really wonderfully done and brilliantly narrated. So, and that's this weekend at the Windsor Cinemas in Netherlands. So Saturday, Sunday and Wednesday it's coming up. So, yeah, go and grab your tickets if you're interested. It's really very... It's a very interesting film.
I like that type of stuff. Speaking of art, I was watching Porn Stars the other night because it's easy just to watch in the background, you know?
Right, yes.
Yes, you know the one where they go and pawn stuff at the shop and
yes.
They do that? But there was a lady who brought in what she thought was a Toulouse-Lautrec painting, the famous French painter, printmaker, illustrator, who was that quite short, and he used he's very well known for painting the Moulin Rouge and lots of women of the night. Mm-hmm. And she thought she had an original Toulouse-Lautrec, but unfortunately the authenticator came across, and the one thing that gave it away that it wasn't was the size of the print. So yep. Someone had repurposed it, but it was a lot smaller than what the original should have been. So unfortunately she was thinking she might get quite a lot of money, and then
ba-boom. There's a lot of frauds. That's another whole interesting...
That's a whole thing. But, yeah, the things I've been watching, because I watch it just in the background, but people bring in things all the time thinking they're really authentic. But, you know, there was a lady who brought in what she thought was some, you know, ancient Egyptian statue of some sort. But this guy had a machine which he uses to detect the particular types of metals and things, or elements, I should say, within.
Yeah.
And even that just gives it away, whether it's, you know...
It's so cool. It's
very fascinating. I'd love to be some kind of expert on something and just walk in and be like, that's real or it's not.
Yeah.
It'd be pretty cool. But.
There's a YouTuber that I watch. He is an art restoration or art restorer. And it's really cool to see him get these things, and yet some of them have cracks in them and he has to like repaint whole bits and... but then other times it's kind of just a bit dirty, but you look at it and you're like, there's nothing wrong with that painting. Oh. And then he does all of these things to clean off these years of oil and grime and everything, and you see the true colours that it was supposed to be, and you're like, wow, that's incredible.
That's awesome.
We sound like a couple of art nerds. On that note, we're going to go and play a couple of sponsors and we will be back.
You're listening to Unscripted, the film show.
So, let's start with the first of many film festivals coming up. This one's actually started already, and this is where Arna went. She ran off to the opening of the Spanish Film Festival, which is happening from today until the 7th of July. They have got a lot of films available to be seen, some comedies, some dramas. And also, because Spanish is such a global language, mm-hmm. they've got movies from all over the place. You know, they've got Mexican films and Argentinian films. Where's this one? There's so many.
I know, there's quite
Spain,
a few,
obviously. France.
39 films.
39 films.
Including dramas, comedies, thrillers and more. I always find it really difficult to kind of... It's nice to go and see a couple of them, but what do you go and see is the hardest thing, isn't it?
It's hard to choose. And to be honest, Adriana sent us a list of screeners, and it's so hard to watch all of them. Mm-hmm. So I was selective and I grabbed just two of them. I've only watched one mm-hmm. so far. I will watch the other one probably sometime this week. But it is a film called Upon Open Sky, and it is a Mexican film. It's directed by Mariana Arriaga. Yep. I'm sorry. And Santiago Arriaga.
Sounds right.
Yep.
Sounds good.
Definitely said that wrong. But these, it's written by Mexican screenwriter Guillermo Arriaga. Yep. Who is well known for Babel, 21 Grams, and The Three Burials of Melquiades Estrada. I can never say that. But so
21
he's,
Grams was a really popular film, wasn't it?
Yeah, and Babel was huge. Like,
two,
so,
yes, yeah.
Yeah, so it's a very well-known writer and directors as well. It's set in the early 90s, like 95-ish, and it's based it's got two teenage brothers, Fernando and Salvador, who decide to go on a road trip to the border of Mexico and USA to track down the man responsible for the car accident that caused the father's death. So the movie starts with the car accident, so it's jumps in there really quickly, and then you see the brothers 2 years later. Their mum is either remarried or is shacked up with somebody new, and they're also living with a pseudo stepsister, I guess, like the daughter of their mum's boyfriend or partner. So, but I don't think she's been living there for too long. They're not super close. They don't seem to have any kind of bond with her or anything. Mm-hmm. But Salvador definitely appears like he's got a little bit of a crush on her, Paula, because she's a little bit older. And then there's Fernando, who is clearly still really, really struggling with his dad's death. And this road trip is kind of his idea. And Fernando is kind of a broken person. He's still a teenager. He's like, I'm thinking like 17 or something, or 18. And his younger brother, Salvador, was in the car at the time that the car accident occurred. So he's dealing with it in his own way, and Fernando's dealing with it in his way. So it's an interesting look on how they're both dealing with the grief of losing their father as well as the accident itself. So they decide to take this road trip, and they have specific plans for this road trip. And the stepsister, or pseudo-stepsister Paula, decides that she also wants to go because it might be a bit of fun to go on a road trip, not realizing what their actual plans for this road trip are. So it becomes this tense journey of what they're actually deciding to do with this actual trip itself, and it's a coming of age story at the same time. So I really, really liked this film. It was quite slow to start off with, but once it got going, it was really good. And there's not a huge amount of dialogue. There's not a huge amount of plot. But what's there is really well done. It's also like sometimes it's the little things you see in films that you really connect with.
Yes.
Like, and it makes you think about all the people that go into making an actual film. Mm. So they go into this place, this house,
yeah,
and it's fully done, like not decorated because it wasn't pretty, but it clearly looks lived in. And it's amazing how the set designers can make an area look completely mm-hmm. lived in and like maybe unloved and, you know, a bit messy. And because there's a fine line between this is clearly just a made-up scenario and this looks genuinely real, like they've really stepped into this house.
Mm.
I really appreciated that. So I thought this was a wonderfully made film. It does deal with some heavy stuff. And some of that stuff is hard to watch at times, but it's still so brilliantly done. Mm. So this is just one of the many amazing films that are featuring during the Spanish Film Festival. And like I said, this one is a drama, but you've also got comedies, of course, and there's a lot of different variety. There's musical films and films based on true stories and all sorts. And again, like I said, there's films from lots of different countries. We've got one that is a combination, Colombia, Argentina and France, you know, so there's like a Dominican Republic. So you're not just getting a Spanish film festival, you're getting a Spanish language film festival, but it's a very global festival. So wow. I'm going to give that film 4 goats.
4 goats. I'm interested in this film because Guillermo Arriaga, who...
Thank you.
I just said it fancy, I think, but you said it right. But no, he...
didn't say it right.
His films are often... And I've seen Babel. I feel that's not Babel.
Is it Babel or Babel?
I'm not Babel. I'm not 100% sure. I've seen this film. It does star Brad Pitt, Cate Blanchett, and then I believe it's part of a trilogy of films, which encompasses Amores, Perros, and then 21 Grams. I never followed up with watching those two films, but I've seen Babel, and it was a very layered, multi-narrative story, but it was all about like the human, all about
human experience.
Human experience, and you know, it was a very psychological type film, and I feel like he kind of tends to focus on that as a bit of a theme.
Well, this definitely is quite psychological. There's a lot of things going on with these boys, and yeah, it definitely is stretching out that part of the story.
And I really love a good story about like people and, you know, some of those...
And the decisions they make and why they make the decisions they make.
So, yeah, all of those types of things I really appreciate watching. So I feel like that's the type of film that this is where, yeah...
Definitely.
It's about, like, the human condition and those types of things. So, yeah, I'm quite intrigued about this
one. It's funny how a film will come up with what... You could describe this film in, like... You could give the synopsis in one sentence, really. It's a coming-of-age road trip where, you know, teenagers deal with grief and their own internal demons. I'm not going to give it away, but what they are, their intentions during this road trip. You could also say, I want to make a film about this and give a one-sentence synopsis. But even though, like, one thing is happening in this film, there's a lot happening.
Yeah, a lot of things happening behind.
It's so well done. It's so well done. So I am looking forward to seeing the other film that I have, which is Jokes and Cigarettes. So thought I'd go for – now, I think Jokes and Cigarettes is a combination comedy and drama. So it is – it comes up as drama and biopic. So so it is about a comedian who I guess is Spanish, so a humorist and comedian. So I'm looking forward to watching that because it's also set in the mid-60s. So you've got that amazing set design and great costumes and the whole lot. So I'm definitely looking forward to that one. The next festival I want to talk is starting tomorrow.
Woohoo!
And that is the Strange Festival. And there's lots of different elements to the Strange Festival. We're going to focus on the film part because there's lots of other interesting...
There's music.
Exhibitions and installations and there's some crazy Mad Max thing, I think, happening at Yagan Square. So there's lots happening for this particular festival. So I would suggest the best thing to do is go to Strange Festival Perth or strangefestival.com.au and you can find out about all of the different, you know, exhibitions and performances and art and all that sort of stuff. But we're going to talk about Exhumed. I think I'm saying that right.
Exhumed, yes.
And this is a beautiful celluloid revival, films that are 16mm and 35mm. Last year, my family went to see Goonies, And it was so cool because what they did was they put some old school ads at the start before the film. And we absolutely loved that. We're like, oh, my God, I remember that. I think there was a Cornetto ad that definitely featured in my childhood. So it's really, really cool. Last year they were in an old theatre in Perth. They've mm-hmm. moved to the Como Theatre, which used to be called the Signet Theatre. But they've got a whole bunch of amazing films, 60 cult films and classic films. So they've got some newer films showing this year, but they're all in actual film celluloid, not digital. So they've got things like Poor Things, which is a relatively new film, of course. But then, I mean, I started looking at this and I started writing down the movies I wanted to mention on air.
There's too many.
And I was like, I've run out of space on my page, so I'm just going to list the things that I was personally excited about. Batman, which I'm sure Lewis would love to see.
We did speak about this the other week and I did tell him about that, and he had said that he possibly seen that film for the first time at this cinema.
So
to potentially go back and watch it would be pretty special.
Yeah, definitely. They've got Fight Club, The Matrix, so a couple of amazing 90s films. I was talking at the start of the show about 90s films mm-hmm. that I need to expose my colleague to. They've got Machete. So that's a relatively new film. Jumanji, Rat Race, Doctor Strangelove, which is an oldie, definitely. Silence of the Lambs, one of the best films ever. Death Becomes Her. Australian Two Hands, which came out in 1999. I remember it well because this was kind of me really getting into cinema mm-hmm. after high school. Ghostbusters in 16mm, very much thinking that I will be taking Bryce to see that. Chasing Amy, Romeo and Juliet, so a couple from my teen years. The Craft, another from my teen years.
Oh, gosh, stop it.
I know. The Terminator.
Oh.
Willow. So some really fantastic films, and literally cannot list them all because there's so many. But I see Once Upon a Time, I'm like, I can't list anymore. But I'm like,
you'd be broke by the time you watch all of them. But
they do have, I think they have some like ticket specials where you can buy a bunch of tickets maybe.
It's just a great way to experience celluloid on the big screen, especially for movies that you might not have seen. Like there's heaps on there that I obviously didn't see in cinemas when I was young, but now I can go back and watch them, which is fantastic. So.
And they've got kids' films as well. So they've got like George of the Jungle, mm-hmm. Anastasia.
Jumanji's on the list.
Goonies.
Lizzie McGuire movie's also on there.
Yeah, they've brought the Goonies back again because I guess it was so popular. Mm-hmm. The Witches, which I don't think I'll take my kid to because it's too freaky. I'm mm-hmm. sorry, no way. But yeah, they've got a great set of choices for kids. Muppets from Space, so it's an opportunity for them to see what the quality mm-hmm. the quality difference was. But I mean, when we went to the cinemas and it was on film, it didn't look like as bad. Dodgy mm-hmm. as it did when we watched the Goonies, because they're getting old, you know. I don't know how they're finding it. Are they VHS tapes that Ooh. They found somewhere? I don't know. I don't know how they're doing it, but it's really, really exciting.
I'm glad that there is a space for it and that people have been keeping the celluloid or the VHS. But speaking of VHS, I have subscribed to Binge and they've got a section called As Seen on VHS.
Really?
So you can kind of read it. So I watched Thelma and Louise the other day for, believe it or not, the very first time.
Really?
But, yeah.
What did you think? I'm interested.
Were you
surprised at how it started?
Yes.
Were you not? I was also not expecting that.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting that. But it makes sense for how the film evolves, I suppose. Yeah, but
yeah.
I really liked it. And I can't believe I hadn't seen it before, because it is one of those films always mentioned as, you know, a classic. So
yeah.
I'm quite excited now when I'm thinking, what can I watch? I kind of am just going to check out what's on that and see. I'm just going to hit something. But I quite like it. But I also came across something the other day and I couldn't believe it. But did you know that... out, the movie Don't Tell Mum the Babysitter's Dead was released 33 years ago.
Wow.
Crazy. It starred Christina Applegate, Joanna Cassidy was in it, David Duchovny.
Heck yeah, before the X-Files.
It was. I used to watch this film all the time.
Really?
And I just can't believe that it's that old.
The amount of times that dishes are done, man, used to get quoted at my house so many times. I couldn't quote it now, but I don't think Chris gets the line. I don't think he saw it. But I'm like, I remember that film with such fondness, you know, like look at you, you teenage designer.
I know. I just can't find a copy of it anywhere. I really want to.
And it's not on any streaming services.
Not that I've seen, but let me look. I'm going to hunt it down. But I feel like, yeah, I'm loving the whole VHS kind of revival. Not that I've got a VHS player and it's all on digital, but at least they're, you know, putting some old stuff. Well, not old stuff, some historical stuff in there. I don't want to say old because
not available on any of your streaming services.
But you know
that's depressing.
One day it might be, so I'll just keep looking.
And I mean, hey, that's a little, maybe we should get in contact with the Strange Festival. Ooh. And see if they can't find it. Oh my God, can you imagine? And then we can see it next year.
That'd be so exciting because I don't even know if there's a DVD copy of that available out there.
Oh my God.
Because it's quite old, you know, it's 87. Yeah. No, 87, 33 years.
93.
93,
is 30. It? So 1990.
31.
It says 1991. Oh, my God.
I'm so sorry.
How did we do in math at school? I'll tell you. Not well.
1991. It is absolutely 1991.
So, yes, it was a year before the X-Files started.
Yes. I'm just trying to think. Is that it is 33. Yeah. Oh my goodness. Crazy. Oh,
I'm getting quite annoyed with some of the memes that keep popping up to remind me how old a certain thing is. And I'm just like, rude.
I know. It's offensive.
It is.
Take this down, please. Like, you know, with the ones where they're like, if you used to watch this, you officially have a night care skin routine. I'm like, that is so rude.
I mean, it's accurate.
It's accurate.
Rude to point that out.
You don't need to point it out.
On that note, we might play our last set of sponsors. We'll be back in a moment.
You're listening to Unscripted, the film show.
She was in Hunt for the Wilder People, but it looks like a fun film. So
awesome. Sorry, everyone. We had a bit of dead air there. How embarrassment. I think that's the first time I've ever done that.
Oh, you know what? Technology. We had a bit of a technological. Can't
yeah, blame technology. Don't blame me.
It's all about technology.
That's all right. It was a whole almost 30 seconds to a minute. I guess we'll find out. We'll get a lovely email to let us know. But anyway, we do have to go. We shall catch you next week.
Bye.
This podcast has been brought to you by the Gentlemen of Pop Culture.